Hi. So this week we got something like a second part of a two-part thing. Sort of. I mean, it doesn't matter. You don't need to have listened to the first part, but it was good. It was Jennifer Pak, who was reporting out of Malaysia and Singapore with some pretty strong evidence that the popularity of English was on the wane. In Malaysia, it was because of a political nationalist effort to boost the Malay language. In Singapore, it was because the business-minded government now emphasizes the value of speaking Mandarin so they can all trade more. So, does that mean it's all over for English in Asia? No, of course not. This is Vietnamese band Dai Lam Lin. They're quite the symbol of the new Vietnam. They play challenging, experimental music. They're made up of a Vietnam vet, as in a veteran of the US-Vietnam War who fought on the Viet Cong side, and also two female singers. And they sing about a couple of taboo subjects in Vietnam, at least in terms of the kinds of things that should show up in song lyrics. Sexuality, and also the trauma of war. And despite all of their problems with the authorities, the band has played at such big establishment venues as the Hanoi Opera House. We'll hear from somebody else who's played there, who's much more establishment, later on today. And to me, that set of facts about this band is an indication that Vietnam these days is a confident nation. It's emerging from a truly horrible 20th century history, war after war after war, with France, with the US, with Cambodia, with China, and lots of internal fighting among its own people as well. But now there's an economic boom, there's this confidence. And where does the country look for a leg up? Well, it looks to the English language. What follows is the second, final installment of Jennifer Pak's BBC documentary series on the English language in Asia. Here goes.
Hanoi's Lenin Park, where I'm standing now at 5 o'clock in the morning, is one of the few places left where you can still find Soviet influence in the Vietnamese capital. Only 20 years ago, people here would be singing Russian songs. Not anymore. Middle-aged women are doing aerobic exercises to hip-hop and dance music. They're now looking west.
My name is Ngoc Tu. I'm 20 years old.
So tell me, when did you start breakdancing and why are you breakdancing to English music?
Em bắt đầu nhảy breakdance từ khi...
Say this. The drum is louder and it's clearer. In English song. For Vietnamese song, the word is much louder than drum and it's very slow, so they cannot dance b-boy.
Okay. All right. And yourself?
Em bắt đầu nhảy. Em biết break.
For English music, it's very emotionally attractive to him. And whenever the music starts, he just feels very happy and he just forgets all the stress of life and make him free.
And you can't get that with Vietnamese music?
Đúng, khi nghe nhạc tiếng Anh thì em cảm thấy hưng phấn và tự do hơn.
So he said that he only listen to English music, he don't listen to Vietnamese music because Vietnamese music is mostly about love and about like emotional life. And he loves English music because it tells him a lot of things. For example, if he listen to Linkin Park, it told him about how to love the environment and how to think about his life and what to do with it, and it makes him look back at his life and whether he should change.
To outsiders, Vietnam seems to be a very controlled society, a very controlled country. So for you to say that you love dancing out in public, dancing to English music, is that sort of your way of being free?
Yeah, chắc chắn ạ. Bởi vì do cái... Như chị đã nói, cái nhà Việt Nam nó cái nền văn cái bộ văn hóa Việt Nam ấy.
So he said that the Ministry of Culture had banned a lot of songs and any kind of cultural publications that show that they want freedom or want to escape. But English song is different. English song is not censored. It's like a green field where there is birds and only him and the birds singing. And he can do whatever he wants. He can lay down, he can dance, he can sing, he can sit there. And that means freedom for him.
Some guests arrived late at the wedding.
Don't know.
Don't know. There were no photos of the wedding? False. Excellent.
To talk about the growing appetite for learning English here in Vietnam, I've come to Language Link, which is the largest English learning center in northern Vietnam. Gavin Yakunot, you are in charge of this whole operation here. Tell me, what have you seen over the last decade in terms of the appetite for English?
In the last 10 years, it's been phenomenal growth, I'd say. When I first started here as the CEO 10 years ago, we would have had a very small school, 5 classrooms, and we'd have about 10,000 students as well.
That sounds astonishing.
Yes, it is astonishing, actually, yeah. We're very proud. And the growth is one constant, but the type of demand is changing quite a lot. Several years ago, it was very general demand. People had a general idea that English is important. In the last few years, we've noticed that people are they have very special requirements with their English, whether it's to help with an overseas degree or to help them get a promotion in their work or to help them get a scholarship or something like that. And they've got a short time frame these days. In the old days, they might have been willing to study for several years. Now it's a bit different. Now they want to do things more intensively, more quickly. They've got a time frame to maybe get a degree in 3 or 4 years, or get a good job in 2 or 3 years or something like that. So their time frame has shortened down and their demand is very clear now in their mind exactly why they want to study English. And if they find an English program that doesn't fit, they'll walk away from it and try and find one that does fit them.
You know, that's astonishing growth for your school only, but can you give me a sense of what's going on, you know, across the board in the country in terms of the demand for English?
We work with the Department of Education on a program called the English Olympics. We've been doing this for 8 years now. We go into most of the schools in Hanoi and we sort of tease out the best students, and eventually the top 20 or 30 students win awards. And Language Link and the Department of Education, we jointly award the best language students in primary schools. So through this program we've been doing for a while, what we've noticed is that the government they're aware that English isn't a discrete subject. It's not like maths that you can study for 2 hours a week and become an English speaker. You need to study English 24 hours a day. What the government is trying to do is trying to integrate English into schools, not just as a subject to study as part of the schedule, but across the board so that there'll be more subjects studied in English. And so this whole thing is about creating an English environment. And we get involved in this a lot, though, because we can run the clubs for them, English clubs and the English Olympics that I just mentioned.
Song about a person, a woman who goes in the battlefield and kind of opened the roads for the Vietnamese army to cross. And they are some of the very, very good people and very decisive people in the winning of the battlefield of Vietnam. So now I'll play this.
What better way to explore Vietnam's new ambition to learn English than to meet Don Nhat Nam? He's only 10 years old. He's already passed his university entrance exam in English. He's the host of 2 TV shows teaching English, and he also helps children to learn in hospitals. And if that's not enough, he also plays the violin. Why did you start learning English?
It's because that, like, I have a fire in English. I love English. The first time when I meet that, like, the love from the first sight. And I love English. I only want to speak English every time. Yeah.
But why? Well, what in particular made you want to learn English? Was it a movie that you saw? Was it a book?
This was a video of Mr. Steve Jobs about computers. Yeah.
Steve Jobs. Who introduced you to the video of Steve Jobs?
I came to YouTube and click on some buttons and it go to the video of Steve Jobs.
And you knew who Steve Jobs was?
Yeah, of course. The founder of Apple.
I'm very impressed. I really am impressed. But you don't just study English. You host programs, children's entertainment programs. Just explain, why are you famous for learning English?
It's because, firstly, I have kind of translate 2 books. I was awarded as a Vietnamese Guinness, for the youngest translator. When I translated, I was just 7 years old.
And you've surpassed your parents. I hear that you're now teaching your mother English, even though she's a professor at a university.
Yeah, I'm just teaching her some grammars because she's not very good at grammar speaking. She can just listening. So I teach her some of the lessons, and I got a clock. My mother bought me because I was her teacher in the teacher's day. It's a G-Shock clock.
You got her a watch, you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
How is he doing as a teacher, then, teaching you English?
I'm sorry.
How do you rate him as a teacher? Is he a good teacher?
Yes, very good.
Is your mother a good student?
Sometimes, but sometimes she's a lot of taking the phone when we are studying, like, hello, hello, so I cannot concentrating in my lesson, and blah.
Let's talk about your TV show. What is it all about?
That is about for kids from 6 to 8 years old, and it aims on teaching the children about the world around them and teaching them about some English, too. So I teach them about the phenomenons of weather in the world, and we can show them a lot of videos, and we make their mental ability to be better, and they be involved more in studying.
What are you reading at the moment?
At the moment, I'm reading Quidditch Through the Age of J.K. Rowling. And I'm also reading War and Peace of Lev Tolstoy. It's in English. I read it on the internet, of course.
How does it compare to the Harry Potter books?
It is very, very enthusiastic too. But I think we cannot compare them because it is a classic book. And classic book have a more kind of rich literature. But they cannot be modern kind of literature like Harry Potter. So I think they are equally good, equally enthusiastic and fantastic. But I think we need each one is good at each aspect, so we cannot compare them.
You have a very busy schedule, and I appreciate you taking time to talk to us over orange juice here. But where do you find the time to be a kid? You're 10 years old.
Of course, I find a lot of time to entertain. Like, in the afternoon, I've just studied from 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock, and then I have a lot of time to play. I play a lot of games, and not the online games. I play a lot of football, tennis, volleyball, a lot of games. And I play football with my dad, too, and they are very, very awesome. Yeah.
Sorry, 2 to 5 o'clock, you're studying just English, or you mean for school?
Well, sometimes I study littles for school, too, but almost every time I study English, and I found it very fun.
You can feel the enthusiasm of the younger generation in the homes, schools, and parks of Hanoi. But what about the older generations? After all, it wasn't so long ago that the U.S. was defeated here by the communists, and families here still bear the scars from that war. Lê Đăng Phan is the leading economist involved in Vietnam's transition from a Soviet-style planned economy to a more liberal one that embraced the West. But I wondered, wasn't there resistance to the English language?
No, actually there was no serious animosity against English among the population because it was Ho Chi Minh who spoke English and who has made a very clear differentiation between the so-called American imperialists, they are bombarding Vietnam, and the American people. Ho Chi Minh said, no American mother like to see that her son will be killed in Vietnam. He has mentioned American people are our brother, our sister.
What about within the party, though?
No. The first secretary of the Communist Party, after Ho Chi Minh, was Lê Duẩn, and he told us, the economists who were working for the reform, Vietnam need to cooperate with the United States in order to industrialize the country. But of course, for many people, they have sacrificed very much. It was not easy. You could imagine, many Vietnamese need to work on the field to find some remain of the American pilot. And the Vietnamese have been doing that. Because if they do that, they will be cooperate and normalization with the United States. And they need to look to the future. We never forget any victim in the past. But Vietnam needs to look to the future. And in order to industrialize and normalize the country, Vietnam needs to speak English.
By that same token, though, when you say Vietnam is looking towards the future, with what's going on in the U.S. and Europe, you know, the decline of the U.S. dollar, the euro debt crisis, a lot of countries are looking towards China. They are asking their population to learn Mandarin. So if China is just north of here and so close, why is the Vietnamese government, or at least Vietnamese businesses, not pushing for its population to learn Mandarin instead?
The problem is China has invaded Vietnam in February 1979. And after this war, the Vietnamese government has stopped to teach Chinese in the school and even in university. And it was a mistake, because to fight against Chinese invasion, Vietnam need to study Chinese literature, civilization, philosophy, and Vietnam need to communicate with China. And now Vietnam face a terrible shortage on teaching Chinese, Mandarin.
And why is that?
I think it's a problem of a long emotion between the two countries. In Vietnam, history is a daily life. All the streets in Vietnam are named according to generals and emperors they have been fighting against the Chinese invasion since 2,000 years.
You were a man with vision. You were there before the reforms, and you were pushing before the reforms for Vietnam to move towards English. And now at the same time, at this critical juncture, you are pushing for the Vietnamese to also learn Mandarin.
Yes. To study English is a first necessity to master science and technology. If you look the innovation, they're coming from the United States. It's not accidentally that the Nobel Prize winner laureate are most American. And I think China could be very strong on economy, but it takes China still a very long time to reach an innovation position like America. Totally different stories.
And that innovation leads the English language business in Vietnam, like at this big outsourcing company, Harvey Nash. Their prestigious clients include Prudential Insurance, the ANZ Bank, and the publishers of Oprah's magazine. For the staff here, it's not just a matter of learning English, but it's also about the challenge of embracing a different culture.
My name's Cương, Nguyễn Hùng Cương. I'm the managing director for Harvey Nash in Vietnam. In Vietnam, when we cough, we feel normal. But when someone sneezes or, you know, throws something out from the nose, people feel disgusting. But in the Western world, like in UK, US, it's the other way around, right? You feel terrible when someone coughs, especially without, you know, covering their mouth. So that's kind of different culture that our people need to, you know, be aware, because when they go and work in the other country, they need to understand about that and they need to behave differently.
Have there been personal experiences that you have had that made you realize, okay, that has to go into the manual to teach our employees about this?
Yes. Even before working for Harvey Nash, I worked in Singapore. At that time, I coughed, you know, in the breakfast, and I realized that the guys next to me, the Western guys, he didn't like that. He felt disgusting and tried to just, you know, stay away from me. Yeah, but right after that, 5 minutes later, another Western guy, his knees on the table next to me, and I feel disgusting. Yeah, so yeah, it's that kind of different culture, you know. And I think that's one of the good points that we should put into the manual.
But embracing the culture is not always easy for Harvey Nash's senior staff, including Kim Chi. So I have in front of me a book that you give out to every single staff member at Harvey Nash. Mm-hmm. It's called The New English File, and in it you have a reprint from a newspaper article on Lionel Richie, and then on the back page there's another article about speed dating. I mean, but is speed dating, is that done in Vietnamese culture?
No, it's not my care, my interest.
So what did you think when you read this about it?
I don't like it.
Với những trường hợp này thì chị đã thấy là sau khi khóa học ở lớp học thì các bạn về các bạn ấy cũng bàn tán với nhau là cái đấy là một cái ý tưởng, vậy thì mọi người bàn nói với nhau là
So she says that she heard that people in her team who are very young people, they were discussing about speed dating and they discussed whether that is a good idea that they should follow or not. And from what she picked up, she thinks that people in her team don't like that idea and they still prefer traditional dating.
Chị thì chị nói như nói từ đầu là chị không thích cái việc như vậy.
She said that this is not in accordance with Vietnamese culture and tradition. With the kind of speed dating, they have kind of improper behavior. And because she have a daughter that's approaching teenage, so she doesn't support this kind of thing.
And this push for English is causing a generational shift. Parents today are trying to bridge the gap between old Vietnam, with its Russian language schools and command economy, and a more liberalized work and social environment dominated by English. Parents are the ones who find the country's embrace of English culture the most challenging. That includes celebrities like diva Mai Linh, who performs sellout shows at the old French colonial Hanoi Opera House.
If I don't speak English, maybe I lost my children too, because they study in international school, and learning English is the way to connect to them.
So at home, do you speak in Vietnamese or English?
No English in my home, but I watch them, and because now Facebook and they connect to people just in English. So if you don't speak their language, maybe you cannot be friend with them.
Is it different than in terms of what you see your children sharing on the web?
Yeah.
Is that different to what they're expressing to you in Vietnamese at home?
They never share at home in Vietnamese. But they share to their friends. That's why I just want to be their friend.
Did they add you as their friend on Facebook?
I asked them. Sometimes I just, wow, this is him, this is her. It's not my daughter or my son.
But give me an example. What did you read on their Facebook that you thought, wow, I don't recognize this person?
My son, he is the 13. And at home, he's always very quiet in Vietnamese. But he speaks a lot on Facebook, and his status is in a relationship. The first time I saw that, I said, wow! And I make a phone call with my husband. I told him, did you see that? And he didn't know that either. And he talked with his girlfriend, 13 years old. When I was same their age, it was very quiet, and I didn't talk much. I'm scared to share, but now they don't share that much at home in Vietnamese, but they share that with their friends on Facebook.
What about your children when they're communicating amongst themselves? Do they communicate in Vietnamese, or do they talk to themselves amongst themselves in English?
In Vietnamese.
Okay. Because I know with my brothers and sisters, we speak in English mostly.
We have a rule at home, no English at home.
Why is that? Why do you have that rule?
Because we need to protect our language. Because language is culture. If we lost that, our language, that means we lost our culture.
Singer Mai Linh, ending Jennifer Pack's report for the BBC. The series producer is Simon Pitts. It's great stuff. I love the way that the story turned out not to be the way you thought it was going to go about halfway through. You know, you think it's going to be the same old story about American culture and innovation having this tremendous draw and getting people to learn English, which undoubtedly was a key part of the story. But then there was the whole issue of the bad blood with the Chinese and all that stuff about the Vietnamese having perhaps overreacted, turning their back on Chinese culture and language. The Americans went to war with Vietnam, just like the Chinese did. But somehow, the Vietnamese didn't take that personally. With the Chinese, Well, that's a different matter. As that economist who Jennifer talked to, Lê Dung Phlan, as he put it, in Vietnam, history is daily life. And I guess that history determines the languages you speak and the languages you don't speak. And that has a profound effect on the culture. Okay, I'm on my bike, as the man said. More next time. Have a great week.